Montreal's Autonomous Tenants Union saw a major victory, as a pair of tenants living at the corner of Saint-Denis and Roy Streets were able to avoid a rent increase of almost 20% thanks to a campaign of direct action that saw union members picket outside the landlord's cafe and store, conveniently located right next door. Lior Maharjan is one of the tenants who faced an almost $300 a month rent hike. She tells CKUT that she took action because the alternative was to go to the housing tribunal, which, because of the work her landlord did on the building, would likely have approved the increase. Because of the direct action, however, now she won't pay any additional rent and will only take on the costs of hydro. We speak about her experience and what other tenants facing rising rents can learn from her victory. Here's our conversation. Let's start at that moment when you get this major rent increase notice. Tell me about that moment. Tell me about how you felt.
Well, it was a big number to see on the proposal sheet. We knew that that was more than we can afford. We've seen big rent increases, but by far the largest that we've seen with our landlord. And so we knew that we were going to reject it. We knew that that would lead most likely into negotiations, and that's what we proposed at that point. It's such a high number that even to start from there, we were in the kind of $200 to $300 range, that 20% is close to $300. And at that time, we had very little ways to fight it. So we were trying to level with him in that ballpark of $200 to $300, which is a lot to take on. Despite anticipating that there would be a really large increase, there was nothing that was preparing us for the number that came on that sheet. It started to feel more and more like we were being squeezed out of our apartment. And in all honesty, it's not the first time that our landlord tried to get us out. So it's been part of a continuous battle. But this really was kind of beyond what we could take.
And then this is where SLAM comes in, the union effort comes in, and you say, okay, we're not going to be able to fight this through the towel, through the housing tribunal. We're going to have to do direct action. Tell me about how and when that all came together.
Yeah. Well, that is ultimately SLAM's mission, is organizing through collective action, direct action. And so it was honestly something that we were pretty ready to jump on. We expected the rent increase. It was hard to sit with even when it came in despite that. But we always had this idea of if it gets to that point, if he tries to evict us another way, whatever it might be, we knew that it is perfectly within our rights to say, this is what our landlord is doing. This is how our landlord is related to this business. We're on the street with flyers and free coffee, and we'll fix your bike too if you got one. So, it was just kind of this very simple action to try and appeal to the public.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about the action.
Yeah.
What exactly did you guys do?
Well, on a broad level, we were just trying to put a face to the crisis, but on the ground, we gathered our members together. It was, classic picket line. We had our signs, just peacefully outside of the business. We weren't stopping anyone from going in, but definitely people were discouraged.
And this is the landlord's son's business that is right next door, in the building next door to yours.
Yes, exactly. The landlord owns both of the buildings. Him and his son operate as business partners, both when it comes to landlord responsibilities. They've both been owners of the cafe in the past. The landlord no longer is, but his history with it shows that they're very clearly associated. Most landlords experience that enterprise completely separate from the rest of their lives. It's not really a public-facing thing. In our case, our landlord has a holdings company where he owns at least five buildings, but that's all relatively private information. It's hard to access that. We only know of one other building address that he owns. All we were doing was saying exactly what was happening out loud, which landlords are not used to having to contend with the fact that, these actions are now being associated with me directly. And yes, in this case, the fact that there's a business where there is, they're serving clientele in the neighborhood. But having that kind of target really helped it. I'll say in our landlord's words, when we ended up negotiating with him in person, because that's what this action was able to accomplish for us, was he came back to the negotiating table.
And you ended up negotiating
no rent increase at all, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be paying this $280 roughly dollar a mm-hmm. month increase. You're just going to be taking on your own hydro costs, which he mm-hmm. covered before. How did that all go down?
Yeah, in past rent increases, it was something that we had used as a negotiating chip to say, you know, we could take on hydro instead of such a big rent increase, especially because, as I said, if you raise the rent by, let's say, $100 this year, and then you get a 10% increase next year, that alone is just $10 of an increase on top of the rest of your rent. So taking on the hydro is advantageous in that it slowly stops that accumulation rate. And it was especially beneficial this year because the landlord just changed the exterior, like the doors and the windows for the balcony.
You're going to be paying a lot less.
A lot less. So roughly when it comes to dollar amounts, that's about like an $85 a month on equalization compared to the $285 that he was going for, which is significant enough. You know, it's still a big increase. It's still like a lot to have to take. And I'll be honest, there was like even feelings within the union of like, well, can we get more? But this is undeniably a huge success because really, again, he could have gotten easily 220, 230 upwards of there at the tribunal, maybe more. We didn't know what he was going to show up with that he didn't show us already, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, on the documents that he submitted with this fixation of rent application to the tribunal, you know, this is listing like around $350,000 worth of work for the previous year. Mm-hmm. And you've talked about how, you know, if you do go to the TAL as a tenant up against this, you're never going to win mm-hmm. because the TAL's rent fixation formula, which is maybe going to change because of certain proposals by the CAC government, but, you know, whether it's the current formula or the future formula, in either case, it's going to say, well, you as a landlord should be able to pass along that work to tenants. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that, I can imagine him saying, like, well, I had a fair case, and I couldn't fairly pass mm-hmm. along these expenses to my tenant. As the tenant, what do you say to landlords like him and the people who would defend the current system, the status quo mm-hmm. at the TAL?
Yeah. Well, first simple answer, just because you're allowed to do something doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do. When we were negotiating with the landlord, he was making a bit of, the argument if we make our own choices. He was talking about how he made his wealth in his life. And I had to point out at that moment of saying, well, this is as much a choice, you know, to raise the rent. And the question that we laid on the table was, what difference does this make for you in your life? At that point, we were asking for a 4% increase versus what he was offering was 10%. That's where we were at about a week ago in negotiations. And it was that the 6% we asked in his daily life, he said there was nothing really that it would affect. Maybe it would cover more of his insurance. But he made it clear that for him, this was just something he was tired of having to deal with, that he'd rather even sell the building maybe. Where for us, you know, it's not that small of a thing. Like the way it affects our daily lives, the groceries we buy, the work we take on, whether we're looking at other places to move, that's really kind of the power dynamic that we're talking about here, right? It's the people who are profiting off of livelihoods, and there's the people whose livelihoods are being profited off of. So there's that aspect of it. When it comes to the tribunal system specifically, I mean, I think at just a glance, it's, you know, set up by our MNAs at the Assemblée Nationale, many of whom, the majority of whom are landowners, many of those who are landlords themselves. This new rent increase formula that Minister de Rousseau has brought out adds in the cost of living index, because I guess we should, because life is more expensive, we should pay more as we're already paying more for everything else. And again, that makes rents more expensive, which makes life more expensive. And so that index rises, and all, it's a self-fulfilling system that way. It just feeds off of itself. Similarly with the way that plays into property values and all of the stuff. We just saw that Montreal has now just gone above $1 million on average for the average home in the city. It's a 43%, I believe, increase since 2020. This is drastic stuff, you know, and even like offering a 4% increase, which we were doing at that point in negotiations, that would have been a huge increase in 2019, 2018. We were seeing like 1.5, 1.7, you know, 1.9. this is, so the situation that we're finding ourselves in isn't just some like, oh, how did we end up here? The CAC has not alleviated the issue. They haven't done much to stop it. And if anything, they've done a lot to exacerbate it. We've lost lease transfers. We're seeing these rent increases. And at this point, we're saying, when does it stop?
And so what's your message to future tenants? Because, you know, as we've discussed, it can be difficult to find yourself in a situation, whether you're getting this massive rent increase that you guys were seeing initially, mm-hmm. or just a notice that is, you know, 6%, which is roughly what many people got this year. Mm-hmm. If they got, you know, the number that the TAL put out, I believe it was 5.9, you know, many tenants would potentially get more than 6%. We're hearing all kinds of stories, you know, for people who are sort of looking at what the options are and not finding ways within the formal systems like the TAL to go up against major rent increases. What's your message from the victory that you had with SLAM?
Well, it definitely didn't feel like we had much behind us. I'll say it hasn't been an easy process by any mean. The stuff that's tough to do is often the stuff that's worth doing, though. I do stand by that. And I think, you know, thinking outside of the box and really questioning the power of compassion, you know, the fact that we are a majority when it comes to people having to pay their rents. Also say that joining a union is just one simple way to kind of add your own personal power into the pool and then to have that, you know, backing you as well. You know, there's many different ways that that we can do this, but just gathering the information, getting to know your neighbors, it's the starting point. And honestly, if I were to give advice to me circa, you know, 2021 when I moved into this place, I'd say, you know, your neighbors are cool. You get along. It's chill. Get to know them better. You know, like have this conversation. Ask if they're planning on leaving at the end of the lease cycle. You know, we knew each other's rents. We would talk about rent increases. It was already kind of the seeds were there. But had we kind of done this work that the union really promotes back then, we might be in a situation where the other units would have also not been turned into Airbnbs, you know, and that's of benefit to all of us trying to find affordable housing in the city.
Thank you so much for coming on CKUT. I appreciate you sharing your story.
Oh, a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we're back live on CKUT. You just heard my interview with Lior Maharjan, a member of the Montreal Autonomous Tenants Union, who just gained a major victory by not having to take on an almost 20% rent increase. When reached by CKUT, her landlord, Mario Saint-Cyr, said in a statement that he withdrew the planned rent increase because of what he describes as the tenant's blackmail. He also underlines that the work he did on the building was necessary and perfectly legal under the Housing Tribunal's formula to give that kind of an increase. And he says he comped 25% of Lior and her partner's rent while it was ongoing. For CKUT, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.